This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. I know we're many, many days past Thanksgiving, and by the time people hear this, Thanksgiving will be well in the rearview mirror. But did you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and or the dog show?
Let me tell you the saddest story of all time, Keith. This is a story of when the Lions played at the same time as Michigan State had a basketball game. So we allowed the two televisions in our house to have the two sporting events. And I told Dan, please record the parade so Cal and I can watch it later. He recorded the CBS parade, Keith.
What parade is that?
He recorded the CBS parade. Well, what I learned is I think they are also at the New York Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, but they're not allowed to, like, say the word Macy's. They're just like,
so were they showing the same floats and stuff?
Yes, but like it was, but had different guests and they didn't show any of the performances like on the floats. Keith, it was so bizarre.
That's weird.
No shade to the CBS parade. I was just like, what's Kevin Frazier hosting this for? Thinking like, where's Al Roker? Where are you, like, what's going on?
So what, they saw like Tom Turkey and, you know, all the floats and balloons you would normally see?
We watched it for about 25 minutes before I was like, what is going on? Before I was so confused. And then I'm like, Dan, you recorded the CBS parade. So anyway,
well, that's maybe what you can catch there. It. Maybe you can watch it on demand somehow.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I know you can, for what it's worth, you can watch the, I think you can watch the National Dog Show on demand.
I'm sure I could watch it on Peacock since it aired on NBC, so.
Yes, I think you can watch both of them on Peacock if you haven't subscribed to yet another service to watch television programs on. All right, well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Adele's new album, 30, debuts atop the Billboard 30 albums, I mean 200 albums chart, with the biggest week of the year for any album. And it has immediately become the biggest selling album of 2021, outselling any other album over the past 11 months combined. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
It makes sense. And news on how Adele doubles up in the top five on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart as Easy on Me returns to number one and the 30 album cut, Oh My God, debuts in the top five. Oh my God, indeed. And it's starting to get Christmassy on the charts as a flurry of holiday favorites re-enter or climb up the Billboard Hot 100. And could Mariah Carey's evergreen classic, All I Want for Christmas Is You, return to number one again this year? Well, stay tuned.
Also on the show, since it is now the Mariah-approved time to start listening to Christmas music, it's also time to talk all about Christmas music. And Billboard has a new Greatest of All Time Holiday 100 Songs chart and a Best Christmas Songs list from the Billboard staff to dig into. How do their top 10s compare? Stick around to find out. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
we'll get to in a second, but don't you dare think, Katie, that when we were putting together the top holiday songs and albums of all time on the Billboard charts, did it not seem like, well, isn't this convenient that editorial is doing their own version like 3 hours after ours?
Listen, just great minds think alike, Keith, apparently. Actually, you guys were working on an actual timetable, though, because it was 10 years after the Holiday 100 debuted, right? Is that correct?
Okay. Sure.
Keith's like, yeah.
Gary spearheaded that endeavor.
There's got to be a holiday pun you could have used there. He led the candy cane soldiers into, I don't even know. No, I'm going to stop now.
Into the gingerbread town.
Right. Sure. I don't have Gary's
Just keep stringing together nonsensical holiday things.
Like popcorn string, a garland.
like a festive garland of lights on
a
the
string
charts.
Of lights. Okay.
All right. See you next week,
Adele?
Everybody.
What about okay. Adele? Let's talk about Adele.
Let's do the chart chat. First up, Adele's new album, 30, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart, starting with the largest week of 2021 for any album, while the set is already the biggest selling album of the year. It's the third number one for the superstar, following 25, which spent 10 weeks at number one, and 21, which spent, just 24 weeks at number one. 30 is Adele's first album in 6 years since she released 25, basically almost 6 years ago exactly, on November 20th, 2015. 30 starts with 839,000 equivalent album units earned in the United States in the week ending November 25th, according to MRC data. That is by far the largest week of the year for any album by units earned, surpassing the debut week of Drake's Certified Lover Boy, which earned 613,000 units back in September. Now, of 30's 839,000 units, album sales comprise 692,000 of that, while the bulk of the remaining units were all driven by streaming activity.
I saw an honest-to-God, album display at Target.
Where?
Target.
Oh, at Target. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that would make sense because Target is the only retailer in the United States that actually has any bonus tracks on its version of the album. And so its CD that Target carries has 3 extra audio tracks.
They had vinyl as well. I have a little baby Target next to me, too. And it had this special cardboard pop-up branded with Adele and a record and a CD and a whole thing.
Target is really key to many artists. Physical sales, yeah. Especially if you see any CDs at Target or any vinyl, it's almost always going to be an exclusive to Target. Okay, anyway, back to Adele. So of that 839,000 units, 692,000 were in album sales. That is the single largest sales week of the year for any album, period, full stop. It beats the year's previous biggest week, which was registered just a week ago when Taylor Swift's Red, Taylor's version, sold 369,000 in the week ending November 18th. Further, that 692,000 sales for 30 immediately makes it the biggest selling album year to date in 2021. The previous biggest selling album of the year up until 30 came out was Taylor Swift's Evermore, which, though it came out in 2020, it was actually 2021's biggest selling album by plain old normal album sales, and it had sold 471,000 up until last Thursday.
Because its vinyl release happened in the year 2021. That's
yes.
The bulk of it.
Yes. And keep in mind, I'm also I'm putting a spotlight specifically on album sales. If we're talking about overall popularity by units, the most popular album of the year right now is still Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, the double album, by units earned. So I'm specifically talking about album sales. It's a way to look at the measurements. But obviously, if we're talking about the most popular album by units, it's actually Morgan Wallen right now. Anyway, I digress. It's just the world I live in, Katie.
I think
Let's
we should keep
on.
Talking about Adele. Don't you think?
More Morgan Wallen. Okay, so next up, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Adele's Easy On Me, which is the first single from 30, returns to number one, jumping 2 to 1 this week. It stepped aside last week when Taylor's All Too Well debuted at number one.
Parenthetical 10-minute version, parenthetical Taylor's version.
No, this was just All Too Well, Taylor's version.
Taylor's version, which encompassed both the new version and the 10-minute version.
Yeah, it was all the versions. It was all of the new Taylor's versions combined.
Yes.
Including the 5-minute and the 10-minute.
Yes.
Again, we're getting off track here, Taylor, Katie. So, Easy On Me goes back to number one. Meanwhile, the other 11 songs off of Adele's album all debut on the Hot 100, led by Oh My God at number 5, I Drink Wine at number 18, My Little Love at number 23, Can I Get It at number 26, and To Be Loved at number 32. That's all of her songs in the top 40 this week. Adele now has a total of 25 Hot 100 entries. Basically, half of those are from the new album, dating back to her very first single on the Hot 100, Chasing Pavements, back in November of 2008. And in total, she's reached the top 40 with 16 songs. So it is kind of funny, though, when you think of, it's like, wow, 25 Hot 100 entries. It's like, yeah, but like Drake can put that many songs on the chart in a single week because he puts 25 songs on a single album.
It just shows you how different artists, you know, maneuver and operate in different ways, because obviously we all know how dominant Adele is. And to see that number seems small compared to her contemporaries.
It's funny. It's so quaint, like for maybe younger people who did not exist in the world, you know, 25, 30 years ago, or for older people who remember, there was a time when literally, if you put out an album, you could only put on so many songs on it. That's all you had. Back when there was vinyl, you had about 38 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe, if you were pushing it to, unless you put out a double vinyl.
Yeah.
Well, total.
Total?
Like, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors is one LP, and that's why it's about only like 40 minutes long.
Wow.
And then when the CD came around in the 80s, you could get up to, if you were pushing it, like 80 minutes worth of music. Now, well, there's no limit. It's just all streaming, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
lastly. And
then lastly,
you get the Triple Chuck's Deluxe version.
Nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammy Awards.
Album of the Year.
I'm sure we'll be seeing the NFT version of it soon enough.
Yes.
Okay, lastly, the Hot 100 is starting to get festive as familiar favorite holiday tunes are starting to re-enter the chart for their seasonal run up the tally. Mariah Carey's former number one, All I Want for Christmas Is You, climbs 36 to 12 this week, following its re-entry a week ago. Will it return to number one? Katie, do you think it will?
Yes.
That was a quick yes.
Yes, I do. I feel very confident in saying yes, it will. I don't know when exactly, but at least 1 week.
How soon do you think it'll
be
sooner than we think? Do you think it could be like in 2 weeks?
Sure. If I have anything to do with it. If me and the children decorating the Christmas tree have anything to do with it.
I don't know. Were you listening to it on demand on your favorite streaming service?
Of course we were. And we also listened to the Muppets Christmas album, too. That was a family favorite.
That can help.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the Muppets Christmas Carol films? And
I actually haven't.
Dan's
family was big on the Muppets Christmas album on vinyl when they were kids. So that's why they pulled that one out.
Is this the one with John Denver?
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, also on the Hot 100 this week, we have re-entries from Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree at number 14, Bobby Helms's Jingle Bell Rock at number 20, Burl Ives's A Holly Jolly Christmas at number 27, Andy Williams' It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year at number 30, and Wham's Last Christmas at number 40. Expect even more Christmas tunes to make the chart merry and bright in the coming weeks as we get closer to Christmas Day. I've noticed that there's a weird byproduct of the onslaught of holiday tunes on the Hot 100.
Okay. I'm interested. Curious.
Newer songs get pushed down or off the chart, And at the height of Christmas season last year, on the January 2nd, 2021 dated Hot 100, which really actually reflected Christmas week activity because we date our charts in the future, that week, 9 out of the top 10 on the Hot 100 were all Christmas songs, like all old Christmas songs. Mm. The only song that was in the top 10 that week that wasn't a Christmas song was the former number one Mood by friends of the podcast, 24K Golden and Ian Dior.
Okay. So, Keith, do you think there's any obvious songs that could get iced out of a number one or a top 10 peak this holiday season?
Living for the wintry puns, Katie. Okay, so I'm thinking of Cold Heart by Elton John.
Cold Heart, but that fits the holiday theme.
Brr, it's chilly,
yes,
on the charts.
Exactly.
So Cold Heart by Elton John and Dua Lipa has been perched at number 11, its peak, on the Hot 100 for the past 2 weeks.
Mm.
Now, a week ago, it was prevented from hitting the top 10 because Taylor Swift's All Too Well debuted at number 1. In fact, the week before that, it was number 14, I think, and there were like 3 debuts in the top 10 that week. And then this week, Adele's Oh My God debuts in the top 5. So had Taylor not debuted and had Adele not debuted, Elton would have had a top 10 already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, here's the really fun, interesting thing. Elton has not had a top 10 hit since January of 1998, when Candle in the Wind 1997 / Something About the Way You Look Tonight had its last week in the top 10. It's a former number one.
You said this is a fun thing. Elton loves a top 10, though. We need
but
to get
him
there.
But he's this close to the top 10. So basically, like, you know, I could see how Cold Heart could maybe hold on through the holidays. Like, maybe it comes back in January and hits a new peak, you know, once its airplay kind of comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, assuming its airplay holds. I think kind of what's happening right now is that there's a lot of radio stations that are going to flip to Christmas programming, especially
yep.
adult contemporary radio stations
yep.
where Elton is probably getting a lot of airplay from.
Yep.
So, I don't know, as a chart geek and as someone who loves seeing a sort of veteran chart legend like Elton John having like a top 10 single, I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen.
That's so sad. I feel like he needs, you know how in the UK, Ed Sheeran like campaigned for him to get that number one over Ed's own Shivers, right? Is that what it was? Yeah, I think so. Well, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, but Ed had been number one for like 3 months or something, and he's
right.
just like, let Elton have it.
That's what I was thinking, but like, I'm feeling we need someone from the top 10 to step aside and do a campaign to get Elton to the top 10 now.
So we basically need Ed to be like, you know what? I'm going to take my song off of streamers this week and let Elton get into the top 10.
Hey, let me quote something from an article that I did a few weeks ago, too, by the way. iHeartRadio did this big holiday special on November 24th that was like celebrating the switch to holiday music on their channels. And
okay.
their press release said that the switch sometimes doubles the audience size for a station from typical non-holiday programming. So
like that's just how many people will tune in
your
because
AC,
it's Christmas music?
Yeah, your AC station that makes that switch all of a sudden gets double the audience. Isn't that wild? I mean, I guess it's not that crazy to think about, especially when we see these chart, you know, stats and all these songs coming back on the charts.
You kind of wonder, though, like, I mean, I think a lot of people, depending on how you consume your music, you know, I wonder if a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to the radio station. I can just listen to my smart speaker next to me and ask it to play holiday music.
That's what I do when I'm home and, you know, like I said, trimming the Christmas tree. But when I'm dropping the kids off at daycare and I'm just in the car flipping stations, I am on 103.5 all the time now in my car. Like, so I'm over here listening to commercials, even like a crazy person.
There you go.
They got me.
And luckily you're going to keep the lights on at a couple radio stations maybe throughout the holiday season.
You're welcome, Ellen Kay. So speaking,
we love Ellen Kay, by
know,
the way.
I do. That's why I'm listening to her. But continuing on the holiday music, on November 18th, Billboard unveiled their greatest of all time holiday 100 songs, as well as greatest of all time top holiday albums charts. So Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You led the songs chart, while Vince Guaraldi, let me try that again. Well, Vince Guaraldi's, oh my God.
Uh-huh, that guy.
Well, Vince Guaraldi Trio's A Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack led the album's list. So, Keith, can you tell us what some of the, like, you know, data crunching that went behind, you know, making the greatest of all time Holiday 100 chart?
Yeah. So the I'll tell you. So the greatest the greatest of all time Holiday 100 songs chart is based on actual performance on Billboard's weekly Holiday 100 chart from the list's inception on December 10th, 2011, through the ranking dated January 2nd, 2021. So last Christmas season. Songs are ranked on an inverse point system, with weeks at number one earning the greatest value and weeks at lower ranks earning the least. And due to changes in chart methodology over the years, eras are weighted to account for different chart turnover rates over various periods. So basically what this means is the Holiday 100 chart is like the Hot 100. It works like the Hot 100 does. The Holiday 100 exists during only during the Christmas time season, basically from Thanksgiving to Christmas each year. If something, if there's a Christmas song on the Hot 100 and it is the highest ranked Christmas song on the Hot 100, if you look at the Holiday 100 that week, it'll be the highest ranked song on the Holiday 100. It's
right.
The same methodology. And it's basically just a way to have a different way to look at the top performing holiday songs using the Hot 100's methodology. So Gary did this recap. It's based kind of like the same recaps we do for our all-time Hot 100 and kind of almost any of our year-end time kind of recaps, kind of in a way, to show, okay, like over the past 10 years, which were the kind of the songs that had like the highest charting, lengthiest runs at the top of the chart. And we got 100 of them. Hey, that was
a
long explanation.
And I think it's also worth mentioning, yes, this only accounts for the last 10 years, but as you'll see from the top 10 that we're going to discuss, Christmas music, you know, really, we're talking about everything from like even the 1940s forward that is on this list, because Christmas music just keeps coming back and is super timeless. It's actually pretty hard for newer songs to break through to this list, even though we're only talking about the last 10 years, as you'll see once again from this top 10. Mariah Carey, not a quote-unquote new song anymore, but very much modern compared to what else is on the list.
Yeah, it's the well, I don't want to interrupt you. I did wonder, and I haven't actually done this myself, I wonder, of the top 100, aside from Mariah Carey, what is the other sort of most youthful song on the list?
Well, I want to say, I don't want to say it without looking
well,
it
don't.
Up, so I'm just going to go ahead and look. But it's either Ariana Grande's Santa Tell Me or Kelly Clarkson.
On the chart-based list or the critics list?
I'm talking about the chart list.
Oh, wow.
So
it's
let's
hard.
Just scoot
it's
on
just,
back
no.
and let's take a look. Because I think this is interesting. Actually, let me just take that way back, because at number 13, we have a song from Pentatonix, Mary, Did You Know?
Wow, Mary, Did You Know that they're number 13?
Yeah, number 14 is Michael Bublé's version of It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
Okay,
and then
so there
at number
is some newish
17,
stuff.
Justin Bieber's Mistletoe. So yeah, in the top 20, we just have to go to the top 20, because as you'll see in the top 10, Mariah and one other newish sort of song are in there. So let's do a little breakdown. But first, before we get to the greatest of all time, we have this other list that we're going to compare it to. This past Monday, November 29th, because we can't get enough Christmas music, Billboard.com unveiled the 100 best Christmas songs of all time as voted by the Billboard staff. So let's make this distinction. The greatest of all time Holiday 100 songs list is completely data driven. And over here we have the critics picks, quote unquote, the staff list of best 100 Christmas songs. And that is completely staff voted. So just our subjective tastes. And yet,
yeah, I will point out the staff list. If the people that vote on that staff list, they're not charts people, by the way. It's like
I should say
editorial
Billboard
people.
Editorial staff.
Yeah.
It's a hard distinction to make, though, for people who read Billboard, because they know you and Gary write articles. Like, to think of you as not editorial is kind of crazy. But obviously, charts. You're directing the charts first and foremost and not voting on these staff lists. So let's go 10 to 1, starting with the chart top 10. Keith, what is number 10 on the chart?
Dean Martin, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
And something our listeners cannot see is that I have put in red all of the songs that the two lists have in common. So the one Keith just read, Dean Martin, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, not in the top 10 for the staff list. Number 10.
Because clearly editorial does not like Dean Martin.
Don't worry, he's probably there in the 100. He's just not in the top 10, everybody. But number 10 on the staff list is Donny Hathaway's This Christmas from 1970, which is not in the top 10 of the chart. So Keith,
so
going
number nine,
back to the chart.
Number 9 on the chart-based top 10 is Bing Crosby's White Christmas, which is in the editorial curated top 10.
At the risk of really confusing people with toggling back and forth, I feel like we should just say it's at number 5 on the staff list, because people are now
going to get confused, but
yeah,
you know,
it's just how
just
it
make
is.
Sure they're listening really closely.
You should definitely go to billboard.com and look at these with your own eyes, but let's go to number 9 on the staff list, which is not on the chart list. I was really excited this made the top 10. Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. That is a very fun live recording. We all know and love it. I mean, I don't need to tell the people about it. Number 8 on the chart list, Keith. This is one of those quote-unquote new songs from 1984.
I was like, when you said new earlier, I'm like, really? It's Wham's Last Christmas is number 8 on the chart-based recap.
Correct. And it's number 4 on the staff list. That is definitely the one that the one modern Christmas song that seems to do, you know, as well. I guess actually in the UK, didn't it go to number 1 recently?
Went to number 1 for the first time on the official UK singles chart last Christmas.
So it's
last,
kind of
last
had
Christmas,
the same,
last Christmas went to number 1 for the first
time. It had sort of a parallel trajectory to Mariah Carey, where it went to number 1 for the first time many, many moons after it was originally released. Okay, going back to the staff list, we are going to go with our number 8, which was Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis from 1987.
A newish song.
Correct. A hip-hop Christmas song. And not on the chart list. So we'll go back over to the chart list.
And at number 7 on the chart list, not on the, at least not in the top 10 on the editorial list, is Andy Williams' It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Spoiler alert, definitely on the top 100 list, just not in the top 10. And I have to say, my favorite Andy Williams song, if anyone was asking, I'm sure somebody out there was saying, but Katie, your favorite?
What's your favorite
Christmas song? And I would tell you that it's Happy Holiday / the holiday
Happy
season.
Happy Holiday.
Oh my gosh. Darren Criss performed it. It's on his new Christmas album, A Very Darren Christmas.
Christmas?
Yes.
C-R-I-S-S. See what he did there?
And he recorded, or he performed it on the Disney Christmas special that aired on Sunday night and did a whole jazzy, you know, rendition of it just like Andy.
Is his voice what you would say a baritone?
Sure.
Katie?
Yeah.
Well, what you actually, who has taken voice lessons in the past,
yeah.
What is Darren's range?
I don't know what Darren would self-classify as, but I think baritone sounds right because he can go pretty high. So, but maybe not a tenor.
He has that. He can go like too.
Yeah.
And it sounds cool. So
he can
anyway,
do
I don't know
anything. Honestly, perfect voice for a Christmas album because it's. But oh, I'm gonna digress one more time. This show's gonna go long. He's already mad at me. But he on his Christmas album has St. Patrick's Day by John Mayer. And when I saw that on the track list, I was like, that's interesting because I've just always seen the title, thought of it as a St. Patrick's Day song, whatever, because it mentions St. Patrick's Day. It actually goes through a list of holidays, but there's the main line in the chorus is no one wants to be alone at Christmas time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Darren Criss turned this John Mayer album cut into a Christmas song. And now it's a Christmas song. So there you go.
Well, Darren, if you're listening, feel free to call. We can talk more about St. Patrick's Day. Okay, so where are we?
Well, I just got us derailed. You were talking about Andy Williams' Most Wonderful Time of the Year, which means we're on the number 7 from the staff list, which
yep.
is Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad from 1970. Keith, where is Jose Feliciano on the chart list?
conveniently, it's the very next song. It's number 6 on the charts list.
That is definitely a song that is all over the place every holiday for sure.
What's number 6 on the editorial list?
Well, Keith, I'm glad you asked. It's
we're only halfway there.
I'm getting slap happy. It's Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree at number 6. And I know that that is definitely higher on the chart list, correct?
It is. Am I supposed to reveal that now?
Yes.
It's number 2 on the charts list.
Yeah, that's always the one that's right behind Mariah on our charts every year. I mean, did it get all the way to number 2 in the year that Mariah got to number 1?
I don't remember.
Okay. It definitely is just keeps peaking similar to Mariah's. I mean, streaming does great things for Christmas songs for sure.
Number 5 on the chart space list is Burl Ives' A Holly Jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year, I hear.
It's true. It's not in our staff top 10, though. We already mentioned that Bing Crosby's White Christmas is number 5 in the staff list. So what is number 4 on the chart list?
Number 4 on the chart list is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song, Merry Christmas to You. Is it the chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
Yeah. Yep. And that is my very favorite Christmas song. I put it at number 1 on my personal staff list, but it ended up at number 3 on the overall Billboard staff list. So let's go back to number 3 on the chart list.
Something that is not on the top 10 for the editorial list is Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock.
Yes, another unavoidable Christmas jam. And then number 2, oh, we get to say friend of the podcast here. How thrilling is that? Number 2 on the staff list is Darlene Love's Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. That's from 1963. And if you would like to go back and listen to our interview with her, she was on our Christmas episode like, 4 or 5 years ago at this point. It's been a minute. But I got to get on the phone with Darlene Love. How crazy is that?
It's pretty crazy.
And I think that we've now gone through everything because number 2 on the charts list, as we mentioned, is Brenda Lee Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And these two lists share a number 1 song, which, of course, is Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas is You from 1994. You know, our editor who wrangled this all for the chart list, or for the staff list rather, Andrew Unterberger, he could not deny Mariah Carey at number 1 when he saw the overwhelming staff vote. He really thought we were going to end up with something different, but we didn't.
Really?
We're just basic.
Was it just like super overwhelmingly everyone was like, yeah, obviously it's Mariah.
Yeah. And like I saw the raw votes, not to be revealed here on the podcast, but I saw the raw votes and it was like not even close for second place.
Oh,
so
wow.
Mariah had it locked up.
It's nice when a editorial curated list and a charts based list can kind of look similar.
I think it
almost
shows,
feels like the public has done something right.
Well, you know what it shows? I mean, these songs, most of them have like withstood the test of time because people want to hear them every year. I mean, it's not like I feel like a bad song could not rise like a mini marshmallow to the top of a mug of cocoa every year.
No, I sure.
Keith doesn't like that one. Could not rise each year if people did not like the songs. Obviously, there's, you know, demand for these songs. They're popular and beloved.
And I also like the fact that the editorial list, the 4 songs that are your in your editorial top 10 that are not in our top 10, the charts list, are songs that are just natural classics that just maybe happen to not be in the top 10. And I think also I like the fact that there is a little bit more sort of diversity in terms of both sort of the acts. Like there's hip-hop act and Run DMC and R&B act and Donny Hathaway. Bruce Springsteen brings a little bit of rock to it. Darlene Love is a classic. R&B Phil Spector moment. And they're all classics. It's just like, well, it just means Andy Williams, Dean Martin, Burl Ives, and Bobby Helms just gets a little bit more
play over
the holiday season.
And they're a little lower on the list, but they're still there. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to talk about these 2 charts that you can see on Billboard.com?
Yes, please go to check out the Greatest of All Time Holiday 100 chart and also check out the Best Christmas Songs staff list. I'm going to make strong distinctions. Find them both on Billboard.com.
It's like you wish there was like a sort of a hub to have these two lists kind of like jump off together, like two links side by side, compare and contrast.
I mean, we could do that. And honestly, we should. Maybe, you know what? Maybe by the time you hear this, I will have already done that on the website.
get to work on that, Executive Digital Director West Coast.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. So now it's time for the chart stat of the week. So all this talk about the greatest and most popular Christmas songs on the chart has prompted me to think about, let's do a quiz, Katie, about Christmas albums.
Oh, man. Okay.
So Katie, which of these artists have not had a top 10 on the Billboard 200 albums chart with a Christmas or holiday seasonal album, like, you know, specifically a wintry seasonal holiday effort? I'm not talking about a Halloween album, mm-hmm. like a Christmas seasonal album. So yes. Your choices are, one of these four have not had a top 10 album on the Billboard 200 that has been a Christmas album. We have Enya, New Kids on the Block, Annie Lennox, and Neil Diamond. Which of those four have not had a top 10 on the Billboard 200 with a Christmas album?
I'll start this by saying I don't know which have had a top 10. So this is going to be a real shot in the dark.
Well, this is why it's a quiz.
Yeah.
And you playing at home, can you possibly guess at this juncture?
Are you smarter than Katie is the question. Strong chance. Okay. I'm going to venture a guess and say, even though part of me is saying not to do this, Neil Diamond.
I'm sorry, Neil Diamond has reached the top 10 with the Christmas album in 1992. It peaked at number eight.
Okay.
Would you like to guess again?
I mean, I guess I will, but we might go through all of these. Annie Lennox.
You are correct.
Oh, wow. I thought that was like, okay. There, I thought it was a red herring.
Annie Lennox released the holiday album, A Christmas Cornucopia, in 2010, and it peaked at number 35.
Okay. See, I remember that album, which is what, and then I also, of course, know, like, the Eurythmics have a very famous Christmas song. Is it Winter Wonderland that they do? Very famously?
I think so, and I think it was originally on a Very Special Christmas Special Olympics album.
Yes.
Do you want me to tell you about the other two artists on this
list? I would love to hear
list?
About the other two. I remember Enya having a Christmas album.
Enya had a Christmas album called And Winter Came, ... So I think it's technically a winter album. Mm. But there was a moment, a brief moment, where there were a few artists that were putting out albums that were not traditionally a obvious Christmas album, like Enya. And Winter Came peaked at number eight on the Billboard 200 in 2008. Another artist who did this was Sting. He put out a winter-themed album. They are effectively Christmas albums, but I think it might be a way for artists to not feel so sort of like blocked in that they have to do just Christmas carols.
And not kind of cheesy about it. Not schmaltzy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't ever think of Sting as being cheesy or schmaltzy.
No.
Friend of the podcast, Sting.
Right.
And lastly,
Annie Lennox, don't forget.
Oh, shit. Yes. Sorry. And haven't the New Kids been on the show?
Yes.
OK, so New Kids on the Block, their Christmas album called Merry, Merry Christmas peaked at number nine in 1989.
I wasn't going to touch them because they felt like the kind of group that at the peak would release a Christmas album. And that's exactly what they did.
So NSYNC did the same thing, too, later on.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Backstreet Boys. Happy holidays.
That's a great Christmas album.
I don't think Backstreet Boys have actually had a Christmas album, have they?
Not that I know of. I owned the NSYNC Christmas album and the 98 Degrees Christmas album, which I also loved.
Britney never had a Christmas album?
She had a Christmas song. She had Baby, That's My Only Wish This Year. Was it Only Wish? Is that what it's called?
Was that an original?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's good stuff.
I like my reaction.
No, it was like really peak time for people putting out original Christmas music that was like actually played on the radio.
Don't forget Christina Aguilera's Mi Reflejo.
Oh, wait, what does that have to do with anything? Was that, that's not, was it Christmas?
No, it wasn't.
Was Feliz Navidad on it?
I got confused. She had a Christmas album called My Kind of Christmas. But she had a Spanish album called Mi Reflejo.
I'm like, her 2000 Spanish album, Mi Reflejo? I don't think that was a Navidad album, Keith. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that so that was the chart stat of the week, everybody. Any parting words?
Oh, my gosh. I just love talking about Christmas. We might, you might hear us talk about Christmas music a little more for the next few weeks. I'm just warning you. You might.
You might. So pretty much it's a guarantee at this point.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so what song should we go out on?
Man, we mentioned a lot
Mi
there.
Mi Reflejo?
Yeah.
Falsas Esperanzas by Christina Aguilera.
It is timely because she's about to release her first Spanish, all Spanish album since that project. So it's been 21 years. And so that's why you were, it was on your brain, obviously. But I think we should go out on NSYNC's Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, because we mentioned it and now it's running through my head like a pack of reindeer pulling a sleigh.
Okay, we're going to go out on that, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.